This is a new day for New York 19.
Where is the good officers at? If 11 of them is no damn good, we want to know where the good ones at.
I believe the goal is beating Donald Trump.
Watch your
tongue. What do you mean? She just called me names.
So I don't give a f-
she spoke the truth. Whoa, look at that. There's a beaver 5 feet from us. Usually they whack their tails on the water and try to scare you off. That was a pretty brave beaver.
We've learned some tough lessons, and those lessons are we have to hold people accountable.
Hello again, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we're covering several local immigration concerns, including preparations for the next U.S. Census and rights for farm workers in New York State. But first, Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin says the county will take whatever legal steps it can to stop the city of Troy from becoming a so-called sanctuary city. The city council is expected to vote on the measure in June. McLaughlin, a Republican, says those behind the proposal do not have the pulse of the people.
We think it's a wrong approach. It's the county that pays these bills. It's not the city. The city doesn't write a check for anything. I wish they would pay their bills, quite frankly. But it's the county that's paying the social services and the welfare and the probation and the child protective and everything else. So it's an infringement on our county.
Members of the Troy City Council's Democratic majority are working to finalize the resolution. In a statement, a spokesperson for Democratic Troy Mayor Patrick Madden said the mayor's administration is not involved in drafting a resolution regarding the sanctuary city discussion, but has had conversations with members of the city council and Troy Police Department on the topic. Well, speaking of immigration, in Massachusetts, Berkshire County's representatives are highlighting the importance of the 2020 federal census. WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes has that story.
The impact of the 24th United States Census, which begins in March, will be felt all across the Berkshires and on a number of political, economic, and cultural levels. As the county state senator, Adam Hines, puts it, numbers matter.
When we're looking at our state funding formulas, people often look at the numbers. And when we're talking about the money that we receive from the federal government, it's based on numbers.
For the county's largest community, the city of Pittsfield and its roughly 43,000 residents, that number gets a lot more specific.
For every person that is counted, I believe there's over $2,000 in federal funding available.
Pittsfield City Clerk Michelle Benjamin.
There's over $23 million set aside for Massachusetts, so we want to get as large of a portion of that funding that we possibly can to help the residents of the city of Pittsfield.
She says multiple city offices are coordinating to organize for the count, with support from the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission, state representatives, and the state.
The Secretary of the Commonwealth's office is very involved in trying to have every community in Massachusetts work together to get a real accurate count.
Democratic State Representative Paul Mark of the 2nd Berkshire District represents six communities in the county and 10 in neighboring Franklin County. He's keeping an eye on how the census will impact the region's political representation. Every state's congressional presence is directly tied to its population. After the last round of redistricting, Massachusetts lost a congressional representative.
There's been a lot of growth around the state, and the growth is mostly based in Boston and in surrounding communities. And while that's good in terms of congressional reapportionment, because of the growth that we're experiencing over the past 8-9 years, it looks very likely, if we count accurately and correctly, that we're not going to lose a congressional seat.
But it's a different story outside of the state capital.
When you talk about the growth out here in western Massachusetts, it's either very slow growth, stagnation, or in some places even decline. And so it becomes very important that even in decline, we have to make sure that every single person out here is counting and taking part in the census, because we don't want any decline or stagnation to be more pronounced than it needs to be.
Mark believes districts in western Massachusetts will grow geographically due to the shrinking population.
Which means the number of people we're going to represent is going to be more, which means the number of communities we're going to need to take on in our districts is going to be larger and more communities. And so making sure that we count accurately should help protect us, help make sure that our voices don't get diluted, and help ensure that our districts aren't any bigger than they need to be.
Hines, who represents 52 different municipalities now, says he's feeling the strain already.
My district in my state Senate seat in Massachusetts is the size of the state of Rhode Island. And it's every expectation is it will continue to grow.
Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landes.
Now to the state capitol in Albany, where supporters hope their efforts to change an 80-year-old law that excludes farm workers from many of the protections afforded to other workers in New York may finally succeed in the Democratic-led legislature. Here's Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt.
Farm workers and their allies rallied at the state capitol for a bill that would grant collective bargaining rights to around 80,000 to 100,000 seasonal and full-time farm workers in New York State. It would also guarantee an eight-hour workday, overtime pay, and at least one full day off each week. It would also give workers the legal rights to unemployment insurance and workers' compensation benefits. Senator Jessica Ramos, who spoke at the rally, says it's an attempt to right a wrong committed over 80 years ago. In 1938, President Franklin D. Roosevelt and Congress established the Fair Labor Standards Act. It created the first ever minimum wage and the right to time and a half pay when a worker works over 40 hours a week, among other things. But farm workers were not included in the act.
We haven't really prioritized them as the workforce and the backbone of the agricultural industry that they are. So I'm hoping that we can help them out and do the right thing.
Ramos is hopeful of passage before the session ends in June. She says her bill has 32 co-sponsors in the Senate, the minimum number needed for a measure to pass. It's been approved several times in the state assembly, where Democrats rule. And Governor Cuomo says he'll sign it if it passes both houses.
We have done the work of holding three hearings across the state in three of the major farming regions, and we're touring other counties across the state beyond that, even Republican counties. We're doing the work of working with the farms and coming to an agreement to ensure that farm workers' rights are finally codified.
The state's Farm Bureau is against the measure. Member Jim Bittner runs Bittner Singer Orchards, a 500-acre farm along Lake Ontario in Niagara County.
We're about half apples, and the other half is what we call stone fruit, cherries, peaches, plums, apricots, things like that.
Bittner says all of the fruit is hand-picked. When the crops are ripe, everyone, including himself, his 8 full-time and up to 30 seasonal employees, work long hours. He says if he limited work days to 8 hours during harvest time, they might not get the crops picked. Bittner says his orchards did not make a profit during the past 2 years. Prices for fruit are down, though he says they did break even. The money isn't there, he says, to pay significant overtime. And he also doesn't believe his workers would be happy under those rules.
When you have seasonal workers, they want to work all the hours they can because they have a short season to make as much money as they possibly can earn. And if I started cutting them off at 8 hours, which we would end up doing because time and a half, we'd be better off trying to find more employees rather than having people work more than 8 hours or 40 hours a week. They would probably just go work in some other state where they can work all the hours they want.
Bittner says larger farms like his are already required under state law to provide unemployment insurance and workers' compensation benefits, but he believes very small farms would have a hard time affording the programs. He says there's room for discussion about whether to allow farm workers to collectively bargain with employers, but he also worries that unionized farm workers might strike during harvest time. Senator Ramos says the bill's supporters do not want to harm the agricultural industry. She says it's in the best interest of both farmers and their workers for the farms to thrive.
So obviously, if we want to help the farm workers, they're going to need to work in an industry that is vibrant.
If the measure is approved, New York would join other states that have granted more rights to farm workers. California instituted overtime pay and other protections for its state's farm workers beginning in January of this year. Minnesota changed its laws on overtime pay for farm workers in 2012. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
That does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest downloads right from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.